Some people like going for a Sunday drive in the country, but I'm all about the Monday country drive. Don't mind the Sunday one either, but the Monday one is compulsory listening. And on the road with me tonight is Warwick Long, rural reporter for ABC Shepparton. Warwick, hello.
You can drive any night, Patricia.
Thanks for having me. I love a road trip, actually. I actually do. I find it's like a meditation. So first to South Australia, Warwick, where the moratorium on genetically modified crops has been lifted in mainland areas in the state. That's pretty big news, right?
It is huge news. It's something that the agricultural lobby, really, and a lot of farmers in that state have been lobbying for some time. In Western Australia, in New South Wales, in Victoria, all the states around South Australia, you could already grow GM crops, but you couldn't in South Australia. And this rule change essentially brings them in line with their farming colleagues and allows them to farm in ways. Some of the modern techniques, is particularly around canola, rely on the GM varieties that are resistant to Roundup and things, etc. So it's a big change, and it's one that came as a real surprise today after a lot of work from farmers, etc.
Here's the South Australian Primary Industries Minister, Tim Whetstone, talking about the benefits for farmers.
It's about putting a better bottom line on their return to their farming operation. It's about understanding how they can have a more reliable crop. And it's also really can't be understated that it's about trying to lift the average in a grain crop on any given year.
So will farmers agree with that?
Yes, in a way they will, because there's been a lot of work done to look at if being GM-free was a marketing advantage. That's what it was sort of pitched at in the past, that because we are a GM-free state, we should be able to get a premium. And a lot of that work from different agricultural consultancy firms, etc., found out that no, there really wasn't that premium there. Funnily enough, though, one of the places thought to actually achieve a premium was Kangaroo Island in South Australia, because it had some special contracts with Japanese buyers that were thought to give it and their farmers a bit of a premium. And that's the one area of South Australia that will remain GM-free under this change. So the mainland parts of South Australia will now be allowed to grow GM crops, but not Kangaroo Island. And that's really because their farmers and their growers wanted it that way.
All right, Warwick, let's move on to another story. Two men have been jailed for smuggling Danish pig semen into Australia. I did that slowly, very on purpose. Danish pig semen into Australia, which poses a biosecurity risk, of course. We're pretty strict about biosecurity. What are they doing?
Well, this is a Danish pig semen smuggling ring. Patricia, this was
Why on earth? A
company that owned farms in Australia, a Danish company, wanted an advantage for their pigs, and Danish pig genetics have some advantages over what Australian pig genetics have here, because our herd is a closed herd in Australia. You're not allowed to bring pigs into Australia. You're not allowed to bring pig semen into Australia or any other sort of breeding styles because of the diseases other nations have that we don't have in Australia. But this ring decided to flout those laws. They wanted to get that advantage. And it's a significant advantage too, because Danish pigs have more babies. And by getting their genetics in, you have more pigs at a time, and that compounds, and eventually you make more money. So they were smuggling Danish pig semen into Australia in shampoo bottles, just on normal flights.
This is such a good story.
And then they were caught after a tip-off to the Department of Agriculture. And after an investigation, these men were caught, and two of the Australian employees of the company have now been sentenced to jail, one for 3 years jail with a non-parole period of 18 months and one for 18 months jail with a non-parole period of 8 months. So significant penalties for breaking Australia's biosecurity laws and doing it so deliberately. The shame for Australian authorities is they couldn't, because the masterminds, if you will, what's thought to be the masterminds are in Denmark, they haven't been able to touch them with our laws on breaking that biosecurity risk.
Extradition?
Maybe, but it certainly hasn't been looked at so far.
Did they get away with it? Did they make any babies?
Well, the piggery, since they were busted, if you will, the piggery has gone out of business, but there were up to 2,000 piglets born with this genetics. And it was thought that the department would say they'd have to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Instead, they were tested and found to be free of disease, and they've been allowed to live, which is somewhat controversial with some people I've spoken to in the pig industry.
Why are they outraged?
Because it's a competitive advantage. These genetics mean that they can effectively breed more pigs faster than what Australian genetics can actually do. It's still thought to be a minor advantage, but they're certainly more valuable than, say, some of the other pig genetics around Australia. So it's thought to be a big advantage. So some people are a bit frustrated by it. Others say, well, you know, it's happened and it's probably better than killing 2,000 pigs for no point.
That's a lot of, yeah, my instinct is not to kill the pigs.
So that's a really interesting case. And other farmers have been quite frustrated because often they're the ones telling people, don't bring back any food products from overseas. You know, when you get stopped at the airport, do the right thing, declare, hand it in. And then to see one of their own, one of their brethren, another farming business, flouting these laws that are very serious, keep out major diseases that could kill wholesale, not only pigs, but other animals as well. To see somebody doing that is really frustrating to them. So it's a curious case, but it has big ramifications.
And China likes a bit of our Australian dairy semen. Is that right, Warren?
Yeah, we're exporting it the other way. Not pigs, though. Dairy is going really well at the moment. It's been a big change over the last few years from not sending much to suddenly sending 141,000 straws. We spoke to a company today about that, and they were saying they get very nervous when they hear Trump trade wars and swimmers not standing on podiums, but it has become a lucrative part of their business.
Look, to quote a Prime Minister, how good is Warwick Long? Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.
Warwick Long, ABC rural reporter in Shepparton. He is a dead set legend. He just made, I've got to say, pig semen sound very interesting to me, and I reckon it happened to you too.